I wonder what your approach to January 24 is. Looking out there, kind of around culture in the world, there seem broadly to be two approaches to getting the new year going, which I would categorise as push through and hibernate through. And I wonder which one you find yourself, where kind of in a spectrum between the two you might find yourself. Push through is the kind of approach that suggests that now is a great time to make a change and start something new. There might be a habit you want to get into or a resolution you've taken on. You might have downloaded a new playlist of songs to encourage you to get up and go when you are trying to jog in the morning. You might be listening to a podcast or reading an article telling you 10 new ways that you can be more productive or sleep better or eat better this new year. You might be attempting something, and I've got a huge amount of sympathy and impressedness. What's the word? Respect, that's it. Much better. Respect for that approach. Change is good. Making space for newness in life is good. That attaching that to a seasonal moment like New Year's, brilliant. The other approach to push through might be that you're the kind of person that put down quite a few tasks at work around kind of late November, December time and said, I'll deal with that in January. And the in January pile on your desk has got higher and higher and higher. And now here we are. And if they're going to get done, you're going to have to push through. Again, sympathy for that perspective. Lots of us are told and try to make a change and kind of push through January. Start positive, start with energy. Brilliant. Just be kind to yourself if you're doing that. Be kind to how you're doing it. Remember, you can't control what's going to happen this January. And if you find yourself failing or dropping off the resolution you were so confident you wanted to do, or if events overtake you, just allow yourself to be generous to you. God still loves you. God's still with you. And you can get back onto that. You can keep going. If you're starting with a push through January, remember to be generous to yourself as you're doing that. Others of us might find ourselves being drawn to the kind of hibernate through January approach. And I'll admit, I've got quite a lot of sympathy for that approach as well. The kind of take it slowly, embrace the rhythm of the year, the long nights, get into a novel, maybe light some candles and be cozy at home. Don't worry too fast about finishing up all the Christmas chocolate. Enjoy it while it's there. Go slow in January to appreciate wintering well. Again, lots of sympathy for that perspective. But if you find yourself being overtaken by events, in that, know that there's hope for you too. Don't worry, be kind to yourself. You might have ambition for a January of craft projects and cozy nights and enjoying a box set on telly or a box of chocolates. But actually something happens. You're ill, someone else is ill, something happens at work, something happens in the news, and your hibernation is interrupted by real life. And if that happens, don't let that fret you. Be kind, be generous to yourself and others. Allow purpose, allow activity to be stirred, even if you're in a hibernate moment. I want to suggest a different approach to January 2024. Not all push through, start with positive energy, I'm going to do this year, come on. Not hibernate, stay under the blankets, wake up sometime in March. Instead, I want to suggest the January of Epiphany. a January of seeking and looking for signs of God at work. Epiphany means signs of God at work. It's a moment of revelation. It's a moment of realization that something new is happening. It comes from this story that the Magi had, where they see a star. That was the first sign. These star watchers spotted something new was happening. They follow it, and it leads them to discover Emmanuel, God, human, with us. Do you remember in our Christmas celebrations, those of you who were with us, we talked about lots, God with us in the reality of our everyday life, in the reality of our situations, in the reality of Harrogate, in the wider context of the world, God with us in Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. Epiphany is a moment where we remember that three people from different parts of the world had that realization. And as we listen to and pay attention to their story, we realize we can have that realization as well. You may not, or you won't be led to a crib or a family. Actually, more likely that by the time the Magi got to Jesus was a bit more of a toddler age. So it wouldn't be, you don't need to think about them worshipping in a crib. Perhaps think about them worshipping in a family home. That's not going to happen to you in exactly the same way. But you can still have that same moment of realization, encounter, seeking and finding God. Those who seek God find God because God is interested in revealing God's self to us. That's the whole story of the Bible. God is about revealing who God is like and what God is doing to God's people and to anyone that's looking. That doesn't require us to get it all right, and it doesn't mean we have to have a push-through approach to discovering what God's doing. In fact, we should be suspicious of that. In the story, the Magi do have a bit of a push-through try. They see the star, they have a chat, they work out that kings are supposed to be at Jerusalem, they go there, they talk to a local despot, and as a result of that, once they have their moment of worship, Jesus and the Holy Family have to flee, and there's terrible tragedy happening in the area where they were living as Herod lashes out and kills a generation of little boys. The story of Epiphany should make us very suspicious of our attempts to make stuff happen, because they can have all sorts of unhelpful and disastrous unintended consequences. But it should also make us highly confident that God wants to be known, to be found, to be encountered. And so I'd encourage us to have an epiphany mindset, an epiphany approach to this next chunk of the year, winter, however long it is. Approach that says maybe God, through everything that's happening, might want to be getting my attention, might want to be walking with me, might want to be close. That kind of mindset we see in Paul as he writes to the Ephesians. Callum, can you put the second slide of my three EP slides up, which should have a little quote from Ephesians in it? Paul says this: "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body and sharers in the promise of Jesus." Can you spot the epiphany mindset, the revelation mindset that Paul has in that passage? It says God's shown me a mystery. God's let me in on something. This idea that life with God is open to all people, not just one group of people. God's led me to this revelation, and now I want to explain it and share it and describe it with you. I think that's an epiphany mindset. I think that's a seeking and sharing mindset. This is what I've discovered. Now, let me unpack it and explore it with you. Paul recognizes that God's business is to take the things that are hidden, that seem mysterious, that are beyond us, and to make them plain and clear and known, and invite us to be part of them. Another example of an epiphany mindset comes from Isaiah 43. Karen, can you pop my next slide on? This is my last slide. Now, if you've been in churches much during the last 2 or 3 years, you'll have probably heard this verse being talked about, because it's kind of hung over the post-COVID, post-lockdown church and come up in all sorts of different ways. And like, there's lots of different ways of thinking about that. It's easy to be cynical about that. I like to think of this verse as, picture it like the Holy Spirit hovering over the water of creation. This has kind of chased us. Forget the former things, says God to God's people. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. Maybe you've heard that verse before. Maybe it's the first time you've heard it. Maybe you've heard it many times before. And actually you've grown a little bit weary or cynical, or kind of, I wish God would hurry up with this new thing we keep hearing about. But listen again. See, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. It's not that we're waiting for God to do something, or agitating for change to take place. It's not that we're trying to kind of whip something up ourselves. It's that God's already at work, doing something brand new, bringing life in places of wilderness and desert and wasteland, bringing something good and beautiful and holy. And we're just invited to look, to perceive, to notice it. So do you perceive it in this year of floods across our nation, of wet weather all the time, of troubling news across the world, of at least 2 places of conflict and war that look dangerously close to spilling wider, in this new year where all we seem to hear about is there's going to be an election and here's some bad news happening around the world? Do you perceive that maybe God's doing something new? God's at work. Some of you might remember about a year ago, news kind of in the Christian world, a place called Astbury, a university with Christian roots in Kentucky, where they had a glimpse of a new thing God was doing. A bunch of students went to a fairly average evening prayer service. And by all accounts, there wasn't anything particularly special that happened there, except that they felt a tug on their heart for more of God's presence. And a university kind of gathered and kind of focused on prayer and worship spontaneously for the next few weeks, just as people's hearts and desire was turned to God. And by all accounts, the presence of God, the sense of God's hovering in that place, being there, was tangible. A new thing. My Instagram feed, because I follow a lot of churches, is full of hopes of and beginning to be peppered with stories of people longing for that kind of new thing. A move of God where his people are caught in worship and filled with power, and God moves amongst us. And what I'm noticing as I look through my feeds is that stories of this happening in conferences or in very ordinary little churches or in anything in between are becoming a bit more frequent. God is looking to do something new with God's people in this season. A new thing. Do you perceive it? One of my favourite writers and podcasters has this little phrase. He says, crisis always precedes renewal. Crisis always precedes renewal. Many of us are longing for some kind of renewal. New life in ourselves, new life in our family. Something more of what God has for us. A coming alive, a renewal. Well, the good news is those things come from disturbance. And haven't we had plenty of disturbance recently? Maybe in that, God's doing a new thing. I don't know what this year is going to look like. I don't know, neither do you, where things are going to go. My guess is, within this room, there'll be moments of great hilarity that some of us have. There'll be great joy that some people are able to share. There'll be triumphs as new projects are taking place. There'll be exciting opportunities and breakthroughs. There'll be stories like some of those we heard, God moving and people discovering. My guess is that within this room, there'll be people that within this year also have stories of deep grief and pain, of sudden surprising illness, of loss, of change. Actually, my hunch would be most of us will have all of those things at some point. We can't guarantee what's going to happen this year, can we? But we are offered something this year by God. We're offered God's presence with us. We're offered a Father who loves us. A Son in Jesus who's done everything that we need to do to be able to come into God's presence. If we just believe and say yes. And the Holy Spirit that could be active and with us and moving us and empowering us in our day-to-day, at our front lines, in our homes. We're offered God's presence with us. That doesn't mean we should necessarily expect a year of multiple ecstatic experiences. That's not what I'm talking about. But it does mean we can look for and expect that God will be at work, bringing a strange sense of peace when you face a difficult decision. In your life, in a tangible yet hard to describe way, as you make some space to pray or worship, it unfolding a new way of thinking about or understanding God's word as you read the Bible. Working in your family in a new and different way as people that you've been praying for years find themselves open to exploring faith. We can't guarantee where this year is going to go. We don't know what's going to happen. But I can promise you this. God wants to go through it with you. To be with you. And to help you perceive a bit more what he's up to. To train your perceiver. To let you learn how to spot what he's doing. This next few days, we're clearing some space at Kairos for prayer. We're going to have a prayer room open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 till 8 p.m. We're doing that in an attempt to take a step towards perceiving. So in the hunches that God wants to move, let's lean into that. Let's make some space. Let's listen. Let's pray together. I'd love you to be part of that. You're able, just turn up any time, Tuesday to Thursday, between 2 and 8 p.m. and there'll be prayer happening. One way you might enjoy starting a season of Epiphany, but there'll be others as well. Let's agree together that though this year might be uncertain, we can be certain that God loves us. Let's agree together that God wants to be with us and present. And let's decide to let this 2024 be a year where we together encourage each other to seek God, to look for what he's doing, to attempt to perceive what he's up to. If we do that, whatever happens, we will find we end the year a little bit closer to God, a little bit more renewed and revived, a little bit more like the kind of person Jesus would be if he had your life and your family and your situation. And that's worth going for. Not having to push through all this and make stuff happen. Simply saying, I accept, I believe, God, that you're at work around me. Help me spot what you're doing. And would I be able to join in with it more? That I would want to describe as an Epiphany mindset. And that is the way I would encourage you to start this year. Let it bring whatever it brings, but look out for signs of God's work and presence around you, because he loves you and he's with you and he's active. Let's pray for a moment. God, we dare to believe that you're at work in this world, in our church, in our lives. We ask that you would stir us up. Strengthen our perceiver. Let us see what you're doing. We want to finish this year closer to you than we started it. We want to walk with you more closely and love others more effectively. We know we can't do this on our own. We need your help, Holy Spirit. So come and empower us and help us. In your name, Jesus.